Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
Philip sent me a note to see his story about the post office on NPR, and it's sad what's happened to the post office, and I'm not going to get into the politics behind it. I'm simply pointing out the post office used to be a reliable institution, and it's, I guess it's more important to some people than others. I know people who go, Steve, who uses the mail? Well, you know, some businesses use a lot of mail, and I still get mail. You know, I check the mailbox every day. Mostly it's junk, but I still get stuff. But it's so sad because in the old days, you could take a letter, stick it in an envelope, put a stamp on it, throw it in a box, and know that just a couple days later, without fail, it would show up someplace else as long as you addressed it properly. And the idea that somebody in Key West can do that and get something to show up in Alaska reliably was an impressive thing. It was a cool thing. And we took it for granted, and that's part of the problem, that as the quality of service has declined and the speed of the service has declined, it's gotten to the point where now you can't even remember how good it used to be. Postal Service is slowing the mail to save money. So now they're going to slow down the service. We talked about this also. But the question is, can they survive this if they intentionally slow the mail down to where you can no longer count on the mail even getting there at any specific time? Critics say it's a death spiral. Brian Naylor wrote this for NPR.org, and everyone has noticed the mail getting slower. I've mentioned before, I've mailed myself first-class letters with stamps on them with my address in both places, return address and the to address. And just never got them. They just disappeared. Gone. I suppose they could still get here, right? 6 months later, a year later. But I'm reasonably certain they're gone. Just, whoo. The U.S. Postal Service began slowing deliveries of first-class mail nationwide on October 1st. This is an intentional thing. They are slowing down the service. Meanwhile, the price of a stamp went up in August to 58 cents. And holiday price increases for packages and other mail are now in effect. This all spells trouble for the agency, says Porter McConnell, who is the co-founder of a group called Save the Post Office Coalition. People will use the Postal Service less, revenue will decline, and then they'll need to make more cuts. So essentially, you're sending the post office into a death spiral. Porter McConnell of the Save the Post Office Coalition says, every postal expert in the country and across the globe really knows that you don't slow down service and raise prices at the same time and expect customers to stick around. People will use the post office less, revenue will decline, and they'll need to make more cuts to save more money. Essentially, death spiral. So the service cutbacks are especially concerning for rural America. A wheat farmer in Larned, Kansas named Tom Geisel, who's a member of the Kansas Farmers Union, says everything from bees to baby chicks are shipped through the mail. And that's the thing. You know, we think of letters and, of course, all kinds of stuff. Now, it used to be Amazon sent a lot of stuff through the mail, but now Amazon's got their own vehicles. And I suspect they did that because they figured out they could do it cheaper. And so when you can get your own fleet of vehicles and deliver stuff cheaper nationally, cheaper than the U.S. Postal Service, you know the Postal Service is doing something wrong. Tom Geisel said, we rely on the mail for a lot of things. I rely on it in my billing from my farm cooperative. They allow discounts if you pay within 5 days from receipt of the bill. And you know, if they keep slowing the mail down, then I don't get it in time to get a discount. Postal Service says that 61% of first-class mail will not be affected by the slowdown, which is caused in part by the agency's decision to rely less on moving mail by air and more by ground transportation. So 61% will not be affected by this particular slowdown, but the other 39% will be. And which 39% is it exactly? Because if you don't know, you can't count on it. It's you know, 2 out of 3, roughly. Postal Service did not make anyone available for an interview for the story, but in a video on its website, the postmaster defended the cutback, saying, we're in a big hole, right? We're in a big hole. We need to realize that we're in a big hole, and we need to find our way out of it. And basically, we can't do all things at all costs and need to bring excellence into our operating practices. So in case you missed that, and I'm going to reiterate this, because this is the postmaster speaking, we are in a big hole. We're in a big hole. We need to realize that we're in a big hole. So note that, jot that down for future reference. Maybe get a tattoo of it on your body someplace. See if somebody else has got the personalized license plate, big hole. And maybe get campaign signs. We're in a big hole. Because apparently it's important to know. Postal Service lost $9.2 billion in fiscal 2020. And as many people will note, and I will note also, not all government agencies turn a profit. In fact, many of them do not. The U.S. Army hasn't turned a profit in years. So the idea that the Postal Service doesn't turn a profit is, to me, just a red herring. But they pointed out, Kevin Yoder, a former lawmaker who leads a new group called Keep U.S. Posted, which is made up of mail users like greeting card companies and small newspapers, he calls this a key moment for the Postal Service. So key moment here, big hole other guy, okay? It's one of America's most trusted institutions that Americans rely on every single day in this country. And this is an essential service that we think many of us have taken for granted, and it's facing challenges now, and it needs our help. One thing that would help, he says, is for Congress to pass a Postal Reform Service Act, which is legislation that would eliminate the requirement that the Postal Service prepay health benefits for its retirees, which would save the agency an estimated $46 billion over 10 years. The measure has bipartisan support, but has not been approved yet by either chamber in Washington. Meanwhile, McConnell of the Save the Post Office Coalition says the Postal Service should also take advantage of its network of more than 31,000 post offices to increase its revenues. There are more post offices than McDonald's and Starbucks combined. We should be turning those post offices into a community hub. You can bring back postal banking. You can offer office services like printing, copying, and faxing. You can do free Wi-Fi in the parking lot. So just in case you're curious, and I'm going to highlight this for you, the person who's talking about possibly saving the post office says that they can do that partially by bringing back faxing. You can fax. You can offer services like faxing. I've had people say, Steve, I went to your website and I noticed you have a fax number. Well, of course I've got a fax number. Nobody ever uses it. I haven't gotten a fax in years. Well, no, I think I got a fax about a year ago. And it's not a real fax machine, by the way. If you ask me to fax you something, I don't have an outgoing fax. I've got an incoming fax number for the few people who still have a fax machine and want to send me a document. Okay. Nowadays, you can just scan it, email it. You can photograph it and email it. You know, faxing. So you can offer services like faxing to save the post office. McConnell says the post office doesn't need to be apologizing for their presence in our communities. Well, of course not. In fact, the Postal Service has launched a very limited experiment in postal banking in the Washington, Baltimore area and the Bronx, New York City. Advocates say the agency needs to do more to increase its business without further cutting its services. So, you know, if you were a marketing person, and I don't have like a degree in marketing, but I've studied marketing. And one of the things they would tell you to do if you were in marketing and you were tasked with coming in and helping the post office, okay? They said, here's your job. You're a consultant. You're now a consultant. Come in here, sit down with the postmaster and the people who are stakeholders in this and figure out how to save the post office. One of the things they would say is, okay, let's back up for a second and ask ourselves what the strengths are and what the weaknesses are. What have we got? What have we got going for us? And one of the things that you got going for you, and it might not last forever, but at least for a little while longer, is the post office was known as being extremely reliable. You could count on the post office. And I've mentioned before, Michigan court rules, and in many states, if you put something in an envelope, addressed properly with a stamp on it, and put it in a box, it's presumed to get to where you sent it. That presumption is huge. The fact that courts say, we'll assume and presume that you got it. You have to prove you didn't get it if it was done to the Postal Service. DHL? No. FedEx? No. UPS? No. Postal Service? Yes. So the fact that the post office had that reputation is something they should be looking at going, that's got value. What can we do with that reputation? You know what we could do? We could bring back good service. We could actually say, you know something? You put it in our system, we'll get it there. We'll get it there fast. We'll get it there like we used to. Now, you might say, Steve, they can't do that. They're losing money. Well, again, like I said, whether or not government agencies need to make money, you know, I don't know. My local police department didn't start making money until civil asset forfeiture came along. 58 cents for a stamp. I mean, there was a time when a stamp was 4 cents. You know, so inflation, I understand. I understand that. My point is that people will pay for good service. And I talk to people now who've got important things to send. We use FedEx. You know how expensive FedEx is? Or you overnight something with UPS. You know what that costs? That's expensive. And so the idea is that the Postal Service is there. They've got the locations. They've got the staffing. They've got the routes. They've got the vehicles. They've got the infrastructure. It is a marketing issue, and it's also a management issue. And partly, a while back, somebody started saying, and people started asking, the Postal Service isn't making money. They're not making money. They're not making... Well, you know, some things the government does, and they don't make money. You know, the people who plow the roads in my community, government does not make money doing that. It costs money. Taxpayers pay for it. It's a service we like to have because we want to have our roads plowed. And nobody says, you know something, this winter, let's park those snow plows because they're not making us money. So it's a problem. But as NPR.org reports, Brian Naylor wrote and Philip sent to me, the Postal Service is now slowing the mail to save money. Critics say it's a death spiral. And unless something drastically changes, this very well could be the beginning of the end for the post office. Questions or comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. If you want happiness for an hour, take a nap. If you want happiness for a day, go fishing. If you want happiness for a lifetime, help someone else.